Hello, and welcome to Real Talk. I'm Susan McCabe, your host, here with you every Tuesday, just around lunchtime, to talk, to answer questions large and small. We've been working on one that's large for a whole lot of people in the state of Washington. It's the question of legal financial obligations to those folks who wind up in jail for whatever reason. Legal financial obligations are the fines, fees, costs, and restitution imposed by the court on top of a criminal sentence. Nearly every person convicted in a Washington court receives a bill for LFOs, legal financial obligations, at sentencing. The average amount of an LFO imposed on a felony case is $2,540. LFOs can include the cost of a public defender and a flat charge for each day spent in jail, like rent. Washington law has mandated that LFOs have an annual interest rate of 12%. In some counties, clerks also impose a collection fee of $100 per year, which must be paid ahead of other LFOs, including restitution. So if a person spends a number of years in jail, they can come out with a gigantic debt that is accumulating at 12% and have no way to pay it off because they can't get a job because they're marked with the label of ex-con. So one might think that your debt to society is paid when you have completed your jail sentence, but that's just not the case in the state of Washington. Now, I will give them a reprieve. The Washington legislature has recently passed a bill which will ensure that poor people are not unfairly jailed or tied for years to the criminal justice system because they're unable to pay court-imposed debts. Those legal financial obligations. And I've got a couple of folks here to tell us, to kind of take us into the weeds on this one. Threat Brown from Numbers to Names, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And Terrell Bennett, thank you for joining us. Terrell, are you also with Numbers to Names?
I'm affiliated.
You're affiliated. Terrell, you're the guy who's got the story today because you have worked your way through this new system regarding legal financial obligations. And it's complicated. It seems to me that the information about how to make it happen for an individual is not that readily available. So how did you manage to get through the process and where did you end up? I understand you found someone to walk you through the process.
It was upon me to go look and search him out and start this process. And this process involved a lot of paperwork in which I didn't know what I was doing, but thankfully he was there to help guide me through this process. The process included me, you know, sort of saying that I was indigent, so to speak, and that I had no means and, you know, to pay this off because it definitely was a substantial amount to pay. And
can you tell us how big that amount was? What was it?
So just getting out, it was roughly about $5,000. Just the principal. That principal include interest, and if you don't, when you upon your release, if you don't check in and establish some type of payment plan, that amount gets sent to collections. And Pierce County, mine particularly, went through Alliance One, and so now my principal with Pierce County is collecting interest, and the amount is gaining interest with the collectors as well.
So it's two forms of interest being added to this original $5,000 debt. At what rate?
That I'm not for sure of, okay. But I believe that the smallest is 12%, correct? Or someone of that nature. So here I am with a fresh start at life, but I have this gloomy cloud over my head, so to speak. I'm still in debt, even though I've served my time and I've done everything to show that I've been rehabilitated and changed and all this type of stuff. So I'm getting out with a fresh slate, or so I think is fresh slate.
Yeah.
But then I have this debt still. So I look up ways to go about clearing this, and I find out that there's somebody who can help. So this gentleman named Corwin Scott, he kind of guided me through the process. And to me, you know, I'd never been in juvenile before, never ran into no trouble with the penal system. So that was in itself was like Spanish. So to get out and try to figure out how I can get myself free of this $5,000 principal with the interest on top was Spanish in itself. So this gentleman by the name of Coleman Scott kind of helped me and guided me through the process. And he was telling me the language and the verbiage that the legal law system used. And he made it English for me in common sense. And it was a joint effort. That was something for him to do. He played a part and I had a part to play. He wasn't going to do my part and I couldn't do his part.
Who is Coleman Scott? What is his position in the community?
So Coleman Scott, I'm not quite sure of his title, but I know he's able to help gentlemen with this restitution LFO type deal. I know he starts the process to help guys get their record sale, which is the second step in this multi-step thing to just become free, get your freedom back, get all your rights restored. So the first step is to clear yourself of these LFOs, which, you know, the interest accrued and all that type deal. I'm not quite sure who all has went before me and done this. I just know that getting out, I wanted to be completely free and just forget, just bury this if I could and just start all the way over.
Well, for our listeners' sake, the law supposedly relieving perhaps the interest rate, mm-hmm. is that correct?
Yeah.
Just passed in March.
Mm-hmm.
So the information isn't necessarily out there,
right.
particularly in English, in understandable English.
Mm-hmm.
And the other question, maybe you can answer this threat, is it retroactive? In other words, folks who got out of jail in the past
mm-hmm.
and have LFOs hanging over their heads that they're trying to repay,
mm-hmm.
does this law apply to them, the change in this law apply to them?
Well, one of the things that Tyrell had told me earlier was that upon my release, he asked me how have I dealt with my LFOs, and I said I haven't. And so one of the things that he did was, you said you got out and you approached the debtors and you started making a payment plan.
Correct.
And then the gentleman that started sending you letters or things was
Kevin Stock.
Kevin Stock. So upon his release, he set up a payment plan, and it's ever since he said, because I never received a letter or anything from anybody telling me about my LFOs, even when released, and anybody that we ever come across never get the letter of release, so it allows itself to just incur that interest without us even really knowing. But the moment that you approach it to say you want to start taking care of it, that's when they pound your door and beat you down and say that they want this and that. People that's been released already, they don't have the access to this information.
Well, let me clarify this, because it sounds to me like you're saying when people have gotten out of jail in the past,
mm-hmm.
no one told them what their LFO debt was?
Was never known.
So you were never informed?
Never informed.
Of the amount of your LFO debt? Mm-hmm. Did someone come after you? After you got out of jail, saying you owe this much and here's where you're supposed to pay it?
Well, my probation officer was the one that told me that I should take care of, I guess, my the fees that I did owe.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't understand any of that. Just like the average person that's released from prison, we both focus on being free.
You want to get out.
Yeah, I'm tired of dealing with the whole thing. And so, and that works in their benefit, because the more we push it off, the more we're required to make these payments that we're really not, they don't give you nothing tangible until, like you said, that you have to start your payment plan. And ever since you did that, that's when the letters was repetitive.
So mm-hmm. Terrell, you had to ask about your LFOs before anyone gave you an invoice or something that said, here's what you owe?
Yes. So as soon as I took the first step in initiative to set up a payment plan, upon me getting out of work release to even confront these legal financial obligations, that's when I started receiving these payment plans that were kind of like strict from Kevin Stock. The name on it said Kevin Stock.
Who's he?
I'm not quite sure. It's just that was the name on top of these papers, and kind of saying, hey, you need to, you know, give us the minimum payment of $20 by this date. So it was kind of like, it made me feel like, and I could be wrong here, but it was kind of like, if I didn't inquire about this, these LFOs would still be there, hanging over my head,
accruing interest
with Pierce County and with the mm-hmm. collections. And I wouldn't know it, because I didn't ask about it, I wouldn't know about it. So what you don't know can and will hurt you. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
It's like, you know, your probation officer may not hold you accountable until they feel like violating you, or until you do something that they don't like or agree with. Then it's kind of like, well, your LFOs or child support or just a bunch of different things that guys could run into potentially. And if nobody's proactive or, you know, seeking this stuff out, it'll come back to hunt you later.
All right, I'm trying to understand the situation of somebody who's coming out of jail. Number one, this applies to men and women, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
Okay. You keep saying guys. And
oh.
I'm a little sensitive to that.
I apologize.
Okay, so men and women coming out of prison come out with LFOs.
Correct.
So when you come out of prison, I mean, the world, particularly the world of government, is full of paperwork. Don't they hand you something that says, you've got LFOs, you've got child support to take care of, here's where you go to get help, here's your probation officer? What? What do they give you?
As far as the probation officer, I don't know, because they passed some program, I think it was, I think it was like 5288 or something that says budget cuts. So if you have a moderate risk level to reoffend, then we'll take away your probationary period, so you don't have that. You can pretty much govern yourself, right?
Oh.
Okay, so there's that. But yeah, it'd be nice if they hand you a packet of resources and said, you know, here, great luck, don't come back again. Well, yeah. You know,
right. But here's how to stay away.
Yeah, here's how to, exactly. But unfortunately, it's kind of not like that. It's kind of like, here's $40 gate money, here's your freedom, yeah. Make the most out of this. Mm-hmm. And it's upon that individual to search out his resources, to be initiative and just kind of be a proactive. How do I stay out? How do I clear myself? How do I right my wrongs? If you're not asking yourself those questions, then you're just kind of, you know, mindlessly wild and just kind of enjoying your freedom and whatever that comes with. Now, you know, when you ask yourself those questions, you know, you start being, you know, productive. And not saying that guys or women who don't ask those questions aren't productive, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying if you don't ask and find out, then they won't tell. And it's kind of like, until they're ready to disclose. Well, oh, you know, you go to court for something or whatever, and then you find out, oh, you've got all this LFOs and that you should have known about. It was in your judgment and sentence that you probably hadn't looked at since you've been sentenced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what happens is you get a judgment sentence paper that, you know, you carry around from prison to prison or whatever the case may be. And I know for myself, I had no really reasons to really look at it. It was what it was. I wasn't trying to fight nothing. So I had no reason to go back and look at that paperwork.
May I ask just, yes. How long you were in prison?
I did about, I was sentenced to 91 months. They took a little bit off of that. So I did about 6.5.
6.5 months and you came out with
5,000? 6.5 years.
Oh, years. Oh, okay. Okay. Six and a half years and you came out with $5,000 in debt. Plus. Yeah. Okay. So for 6.5 years, you were carrying your sentencing paper around with you in your pocket?
In my stuff, so to speak. Yeah. Not necessarily my pocket.
Yeah.
Belongings. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And that's a true concept, too. And so now with the situation that we're faced with, like as far as, so you got your 12% taken care of, right?
Correct.
And so if you can help us understand, like, how did you work through the process of curing dealing with the 12%, you know what I'm saying? That would help a lot, too.
Okay. So my first step was I went down to the courthouse and I established a payment plan. Hey, at minimum, I can afford to pay $20. If, you know, there's no penalty for paying off more than $20, but at minimum, here's what I can give minimally. So then once I set that up, these papers from Kevin Stock kept coming as a reminder, like, you said you'll pay us. So now we want you to pay us by this date. And even though life was kind of happening and, you know, different things came upon, I was like, wow, I don't know if I can make this day. Let me go see if I can get an extension. I know it's $20, but, you know, I'm not making too much money fresh out of prison. So anyways, that started happening. Once I started getting over my head and Kevin Stock kept pounding me with these payment deadline ultimatums, and if you don't pay me this $20 that you said that you'll pay me, I'll see you in court. I reached out to, I was like, oh God, what did I get myself into? And I'm asking other guys I know had got out, like, are you being harassed by your LFO collections, whatever? They're like, no, we never even went to set up a payment plan. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, so then I reached out to, I remember Corwin Scott coming to speak to us saying that he can help. So I reached out to Corwin Scott, showed him the paperwork, and he was like, oh, you know what? I can totally help you manage this. Here's what we could do. We went down there and got all the paperwork. We filled it out together. We submitted it. And upon our submission, we ended up getting a court date about the interest, just the interest. So that way, I just had to pay the principal. I was ignorant to the fact that I had to pay the interest from the collections, too, because that's how they get their money. So I got one collections taken off. But the other one was still accruing, so that's how that process went. And so I kept making these payment plans. Thanks to Kevin Scott or Kevin Stork, you know, sending these reminders. They were hard, but sending these reminders to tell me I better have, you know, the money for this, these LFOs. And so I kept chipping at it and getting it down to a manageable size. And then I just paid it off completely recently.
You paid off your whole debt?
I paid off my whole debt.
And how long did that take you?
Roughly over a year and some change. At least 16 months.
That is impressive. Mm-hmm. Most people out there can't pay off a $5,000 debt
right
in a year and a half at $20 a month. Mm-hmm. You must have been adding to that.
Mostly.
You wanted it off your back.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And could I add to that too? So as far as Corwin Scott, Corwin Scott's company is named the Evergreen Empowerment Group. So that's Corwin Scott, and he's located on the hilltop in Tacoma off of like 13th and MLK. Between 12th and 13th and MLK. And so what Corwin does, he helped with expungement, record expungement. So he works with a variety of different things. It's a nonprofit organization that helps people through legal matters. So again, like what Tyrell was saying is that even when I was released, I never got information about taking care of these things because they really want, they don't want you to start making those payments. They rather incur an increase into the debt perspective. So that way, again, like if they find you in a violation of one thing, then they start to bring that out, because I never knew anything about my LFOs until I went to deal with a traffic ticket. And then when I went to deal with a traffic ticket, they started talking to me about, you know, how much money that I did owe for this matter and that matter. And at that particular time, I didn't start no payment plan, so it still collected interest. And so now for people that are released from prison and been out for years, it's been increasing and increasing nonstop. And so now for them to go back and say, okay, I want to do something about this, then I believe now with Kevin Stokes, Stocks, however you say his name, that gentleman would be the one that says, so now that you want to do something, we're going to hold you to doing something, which is a catch 22 in itself, because the moment we say we want to start paying on it, then that's when they start hounding, and that's when the repercussions of warrants and your time for jail and violations to this and that start to happen.
And Kevin Stock is the county clerk for Pierce County. Thank you, Janie Starr.
Yeah.
So at least, you know, when you said I started getting notes from Kevin Stock, I thought, who is this guy? He could be anybody.
Right.
But apparently he's the county clerk for Pierce County. Okay, right. Fine.
And so he's making sure.
Yes.
So you're listening to Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, and I'm here with Threat Brown from Numbers to Names and Terrell Bennett, also from Numbers to Names. And we're talking about legal financial obligations. The Washington legislature recently passed a law supposedly ending the practice of jailing people who are unable to pay their legal financial obligations when they get out of jail, eliminating the current 12% interest rate on non-restitution LFOs, and stopping interest from accruing while a person is incarcerated, prioritizing the allocation of LFOs to restitution for victims, setting clear standards for determining a person's ability to pay, prohibiting forced collection of funds received from needs-based public assistance programs. Well, that's a start. Mm. So Threat Brown with Numbers to Names, how are you communicating this now, this information to people as they come out of jail? And are you getting any help from Pierce County or from Washington State?
No. I look at the bigger picture as legal. I mean, for the financial gains, they don't want you to know what you can do to relieve yourself from this debt. So it's not even that they, even people that's being released today, if somebody got released today, they're not going to know that there's a law that's been passed that you can deal with your LFOs in a more beneficial perspective for you to gain opportunity. Also, more information I did get from I forget the lady's name, but if I find out her name, I'll share it with you. She said that once you establish your payment plan, because it is a payment plan that you have to establish, and if you make 5 consecutive payments, then that's what starts to decrease your interest that you the interest that you've incurred over these last few years. Because I still never knew anything about mine. So the commitment to making the payments, they're not going to tell anybody that release, when you get out, go deal with your LFOs. They're not going to say that. And for the ones that's not, nobody's getting a letter in the mail saying that you have an opportunity to clear yourself of this debt. So it's our responsibility as the storytellers, and it's our responsibility as people to have this information to create the platforms for ourselves and allow ourselves to do things like this on the radio to get this truth out there for people that are listening. And the sad part about it is that as we even share this stuff today, a lot of people that's affected by the prison system are still not hearing this voice that we have right here. So now we take what we have today and spread it through social media and tap into our own networks, because I deal with a lot of people that's incarcerated or formerly incarcerated. Now I can take information that we have and start sharing it. That's the only way it's going to get out there. But then even the process of that becomes strenuous and it's stressful, you know, trying to deal with that. So if we don't know, it just increase and increase, and there's no penalties a lot of the times. They're just happy that it's increasing. But the moment that we want to start dealing with the situation and our opportunity to relieve ourselves, then the pressure starts to apply to what we have to. Now it's a mandatory, since you guys want to do something, now it's mandatory that you have to do this, knowing that we're still low income.
Yes.
I'm still low income, but now it's mandatory that I do it, since I want to make the effort to make a payment towards something.
Yep.
And that's crucial.
Yeah, that's very crucial.
I mean, the law, it's almost like the law don't even really, it doesn't even matter. You know, keeping quiet about what's going on is probably the best thing the average person can do that's dealing with LFOs.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Right.
Yeah. So, Terrell Bennett, you managed to pay off this debt, which is remarkable in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, too, it sounds to me, Threat, like when you do start paying, you're paying the interest, not the principal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're adding penalties if you're late.
Right.
Like
once you start it.
Things like that, yeah.
As soon as you start it, right?
Yep.
Soon as you start, I make my first payment today. Now, all of a sudden, since you made the effort to do right by yourself, now these mandatory obligations start to hit you. And if you slip up one time, now you're going to be penalized because you wanted to do something good for yourself.
Yes.
And that's a sad situation.
As soon as you start that initial setup payment system and make that first payment, you'll be receiving a letter from Mr. Kevin Stock saying, hi, you owe me next month too.
That is if you're in Pierce County.
Yes,
it's
true.
Other counties of Washington State probably have different county clerks.
Yeah.
Yes.
We still don't know yet whether or how this affects people retroactively who have gotten out of jail prior to the change in the law.
Mm-hmm.
We can look that up and find out if indeed those folks can go and begin payment plans. But
they can.
If they haven't said anything about it and they've been out of jail for years, they probably are better off staying under the radar.
Right.
But then the next question becomes, are you still, and this is my ignorance of the law, are you still required to stay on job applications that you've been incarcerated?
So once you get this sealed, I'm not quite sure about that. And most times when I fill out an application, they asked me, in the last 5 to 7 years, have I been convicted of a felony or a misdemeanor or anything of that nature? In which case, my answer may vary on how they word it. Recently, I was just, recently I got a job. I won't say the company name. I got a job and I passed the interview with Flying Colors, and they went a little further into their background check. It went to HR, actually. HR strung me along for about 3 weeks, calling me, telling me that they're still searching, and then they pinned it on the fact that a credit score, which, you know, the manager, the immediate manager was saying, I call, you know, monkey business. So anyways, you know, those are some of the challenges that we run into.
Did you actually get the job, though? You got past that?
No, I didn't get the job. They sent me a letter saying that they wanted to pull back their offer of employment.
Because of your credit rating.
Because of my so-called credit rating.
Which should have been good because you just paid off a $5,000 debt.
Well, unfortunately, my credit right now shows that I have no credit. I don't have good credit. I don't have bad credit. I just have no credit.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I have
a
fresh slate.
That's 22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the benefit, and it even comes down with the felony concepts, because I still deal with people right now that have made phenomenal changes in their lives and things, right? And they have the credibility and the credentials to certify them for certain positions to get employment. But they're overlooked for that simple fact that they, was probably still a felon. They haven't dealt with that record or that charge being expunged from their record. You know what I'm saying? So second chances is not a real thing for anybody unless you want a low-end piece of job. You know what I'm saying? Now I can go probably work at Jack in the Box or Taco Bell. And at 39 years old, I don't find myself wanting to work at Jack in the Box or Taco Bell. But those are some of the only options that we have as felons to tap into these things. Regardless of how hard we work in comparison to the next person, it's still that piece that's going to jeopardize a lot of opportunities that we do have. And that is sad.
Is anyone, including numbers to names, working with the legislature to remove that obligation from employment applications?
Well, they've been working on that ban the box concept forever and a day.
not getting anywhere.
No, because even if they ban the box, they still have the right to tap into your background according to if they feel like they want to stereotype or profile mm-hmm. you according to, let's see how deep the rabbit hole goes. You know, so that in itself is still crucial for a person that's released from prison or a person that's been out of prison forever and a day and still haven't found the type of employee that they need to make sure that they can manage their lifestyle and their families on top of LFOs and on top of child support and on top of these other legal obligations they do have.
So I want to ask both of you real straightforwardly, how do these laws appear to be working in someone's behalf to keep folks in the prison system? The legal financial obligations certainly tie one to the prison system. Mm-hmm. The whole requirement to state your previous felonies in a job application keeps you in that revolving door. Mm-hmm. Is this just accidental, or who's benefiting from keeping you guys in the prison system? You guys are not in the prison system anymore.
Yeah, but to a degree, we still are. You know what I'm saying? So I'm always feel like I am, you know. But the only people that benefits from this cycle, this vicious cycle, is the correctional officers, the warden, the attorneys, the prosecutors, the judges, the clerks. You know, all of the people that works for the system, works for the prison system, work for the court system, works for DOC. All of these people are the ones who's paying their bills according to this revolving door, you know what I'm saying, that we constantly keep finding ourselves in. So we don't ever benefit from it. And it's not designed for us to benefit from it, because the moment that we do benefit, that means that somebody's not benefiting, and it'll be the opposers. You know, so it'll never be in our favor to do right. Some of us get a chance to, because it just makes everything looks good. But at the bigger picture, no, they need this cycle to continue in order for them to stay financially fueled, you know.
So are you folks with numbers to names working with the legislature to try and make these changes? And if so, who are your allies in doing that?
Well, we are working with Surge. You know, that's
Surge is Show Up for Racial Justice, which is has a chapter here on Vashon Island.
Mm-hmm. And yes, then also nice. You got Civil Survivors. That's another that works heavy with the legislation in Olympia. So they do a lot of rallying around the legislative component. Us as numerous to names, those being our allies is important, because we choose to tell the transformational stories that we do. We grow in. So I become something in my circumstances. I do my best to become a better person under my circumstances. And my testimony to that is just to show other people that's been affected by prison that we can still make things happen for ourselves. It might be a stronger fight and a lot longer to process. But if we stick to the strip and keep connection with the allies and the people that we have in our corner, then we continue to get further. And it eventually some point be a lot more in our favor than what it is now.
You know, I'd like to say something to all employers out there as I work with you people from numbers to names, as I meet folks like Terrell Bennett. You can't go wrong hiring these people. Look at the determination and the commitment that they have to improving their lives. That kind of strength, energy, and intelligence is something that you want to have in your organization. So I say, hire these people. Look at who they are, not at whether they've been in prison. I can't thank you enough for joining me, Threat Brown and Terrell Bennett. One, we've got 30 seconds. Is there one last thing you want to be sure people hear?
Well, the only thing I would say is that on the 21st of July 21st, the next Saturday, there's a town hall meeting at Tacoma Community College at TCC from 11 o'clock. It's a national event that's coming together about data, compiling data for the women incarceration, because there's no data on the basis of women. So it'll be a discussion. It's in a national discussion about 21 cities that will be covering information about what we need to do to be more supportive of women incarceration. So if you can attend, please do, and sign us the numbers and names to figure out more information.
Thank you all. Thank you both. And thank you all for listening. This has been Real Talk, and it certainly is real. We're here every Tuesday at lunchtime. Join us.